Hello, this is the September 12th meeting of the Yolo County Transportation District Board of Directors. I'm calling it to order at this point, and we will go through a determination of quorum. So, Mimi, would you like to do that for us?
Yes. Okay. Yolo County?
You're present.
City of Davis?
I am here.
City of West Sacramento?
Present.
City of Winters?
Here.
City of Woodland?
Here.
E. Davis, representative, is absent. Caltrans representative?
Here.
Okay, we have quorum.
Right, and so we know that Director Dulcich is having computer challenges this evening, so he won't be able to join us, and we welcome Mayor Guerrero as alternate to Councilmember Ledesma representing West Sacramento. We have on our consent calendar, we'll approve the agenda for tonight. This is a time that we'll allow for public comment on matters that are not on our agenda or on the consent calendar. Other items that we are going to be dealing with individually, there will be other opportunities for public comment. Is there anyone present on the call here who would like to make a public comment?
We do have one public comment.
All right. Very good. And that will be, who is that?
That would be Mr. Alan Hirsch. He should be popping up any moment. There you go.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you very much for letting me speak. This is Alan.
Alan, as always, we ask that you focus in about 3 minutes time, okay?
I am very proud if I use the other 2 minutes at the Davis City Council. So three minutes is luxurious.
Okay.
Again, the concern is the most important project to address climate change in our county is the widening of I-80 and how that is done. First, I want to bring an administrative matter. Your subcommittee has now been meeting for the ad hoc committee has been now meeting for this month will be the last month. So it can no longer meet in quiet. It has to be made public if you make it a permanent subcommittee. So I ask that that be acknowledged and addressed. The second thing is this project, we have had a crisis of a heat wave. I went to the National Weather Service, and basically, if you look at the history, we have not really had peaking weather on an average only since 2014, if you look at the data. We are just beginning. We are at a tipping point here. And anything we do to increase greenhouse gases on that freeway is a denial of the project. And we're older people, we're gonna be all, most of us, a lot of us in the room are gonna be dead before this really kicks in. Our kids are gonna be thinking. We need to be thinking the future. And if you're arguing, I heard one of your board members was arguing that he was in Cabeas, he couldn't drive to Sacramento for dinner on a Friday night, and that was a justification for this project. I'm sorry, that is a morally bankrupt project. We need to basically, nothing in this project increases greenhouse gases. We have lost a week of summer days. A week. We couldn't go outside. How much is that worth? There is nothing. There is no job. There's no series of jobs that's more worth than a week's worth of lost time in our community. Please make sure that the I-80 project does not increase traffic and transportation across the corridor and encourage more driving. Thank you very much for listening. You have a difficult task. This is your charge.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it. Are there other public comment requests? Okay, I don't see any. Mimi, you're on mute.
Sorry. Yes, no more public comments on the participation list, but we did have one email in.
Okay.
So there was one public comment written in regarding items not on the agenda that I forwarded to the YPD Board of Directors. The public comment came from Tara Ross, R-A-I-S, regarding the 42 AB changes in the intersection of Childs and Mace Boulevard to downtown Sacramento. And I'll make notes to record it in a minute.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's go to consent calendar. And this is matters that are substantive, but they are matters that staff believe have a likely consensus. Are there any, Autumn, do you have anything to remove from the consent calendar?
No, Mr. Chair, not all, but if there's anything any of the members of the board would like to remove and discuss, happy to do that.
Right, that's the next question. Anybody have anything you'd like to remove? I don't see any. Is there a motion to approve? Oh, Lucas, I see your hand is up for some reason.
It is. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two things. First of all, I'll move the consent calendar, but I do have a question about the public comment that we just had, so I'd like to just, if that's when appropriate, ask a question. Thank you.
We have a second from Martha. We have an item on our executive director report of update on the ad hoc committee. Would that be an appropriate time, Lucas, for your comment?
No, Mr. Chair, this is about the public comment that we received via email or the
board
did. Yeah, thank you. I don't know who received that. I would really be appreciated if that was sent out to the entire board.
I think it was, but that's...
Okay, I must have missed it, so my apologies.
What we'll do is let's take a vote on the consent calendar and let's ask Autumn to address the topic in her report, if that'd be all right.
It's fine. If it could be resent or sent, that would be great. I don't need to have a full discussion about it at the board meeting. I just am curious in seeing the written comment, that's all.
All right. The comment is regarding the bus stops and the service to South Davis.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion by Frerichs and a second by Guerrero. Would you call the roll, please, Mimi?
Yes. Yolo County?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
UC Davis? Oh, sorry. The motion passed unanimously.
Okay. It passed unanimously. Thank you. That brings us to item 4, and this is administrative reports, and we'll start with Autumn.
Great. I'll go ahead and take the executive director's report first so I can respond to Director Frerichs' question. The one of the things we are working on and the public comment received is related to this is the launch of the expanded Route 42. It is on track for next Monday, the 19th. So the signage is up. It's on social media. We've been out there. There's notices inside all the buses. So the word is definitely getting out. We did receive, in addition to the public comment that was received, we did get one other email from a resident of South Davis as well, actually requesting a slightly different comment, requesting that we restore the South Davis Express bus service that previously ran between South Davis and downtown Sacramento as more people are going back to work in the office in downtown Sacramento several days a week. We have received a couple of comments and some questions from riders as we've been out putting up signs. But overall, the expansion is on track. The last day of the existing schedule will be this Sunday, and then the new schedule will begin on Monday morning. And as a reminder, it's both increasing the headways increasing the frequency of the bus to every 30 minutes in the morning and then variable headways throughout the rest of the day. And then there is the rerouting, so we'll no longer be going through South Davis, but instead we'll go take Mace to Alhambra and then all the way down the 5th Street corridor in Davis. And as well, there are some changes in Midtown Sacramento as well. The bus will be going it won't be going as far east into Midtown Sacramento as it does currently. And those changes to the route alignment are really intended to, because it is an intercity service, to make sure we're really servicing the places where the ridership is the highest, and then reducing the overall amount of runtime so that people can get between the cities that we serve as quickly as possible. And those changes were approved by the board as part of the YOLOGO comprehensive operations assessment last in March of 2021. It was originally intended to be implemented last September, but due to a driver shortage, those changes were postponed until now. And a couple other things I just want to note in the executive director's report. We did, of course, have the heat wave last week that was referenced in public comment. We were in contact with Dr. Amy Sisson, the public health officer, as well as Emergency Operations, Office of Emergency Services, and at their request, we did make free rides available on all YOLO bus services for the duration of the heat wave to help people get to cooling centers. We did that in partnership. Unitrans did it as well, so we were really happy to be able to offer that during those hot days. In addition, I wanted to note that we have begun conversations with the City of Winters and Yolo County Public Works staff about the 505-128 pedestrian bridge that connects would connect El Rio Villa to the City of Winters. This is a project that the county and the city have been working on along with Caltrans for a number of years, and we're looking at whether or not it might make sense for YCCD to help take over management of that project to help move it forward, as it really kind of aligns quite well with our YOLO Active Transportation Corridors, the Intercity Bike Trails project. So we're in internal conversations with staff at the City of Winters and the Public Works about that, and if we are able to, there's a kind of alignment, then we would likely bring that to the board for consideration, an agreement for consideration in October, as well as the City of Winters would bring it to their city council as well. And then lastly, I just wanted to note we are in the very early stages of looking at a strategic planning process to develop a 10-year strategic plan for YCTV. As it's no surprise to this board, there's been a lot of changes in recent years, and as we really look to expand from being pretty much exclusively a transit provider to being more of a multimodal transportation planning agency, what does that really look like? What do we want to be? What do we want to be when we grow up? And how do we want to get there? So the first step in that process is looking at our vision, values, and priorities document. Which we've already started having conversations with our Citizens Advisory Committee and Technical Advisory Committee about that, and then we'll be bringing that conversation to the board next month. Following on with some additional conversations to kind of really dive into, where do we want to be in 10 years, starting in January when some of the members of this board will be gone and we'll have new members as well. So we wanted to kind of bridge by having some of that conversation with the current board and then some of that conversation with the new board. So more details on that to come. And that concludes my executive director's report.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. We'll have some additional items to report on this topic on this item in just a minute. Are there any questions of Autumn on the topics that she's presented?
Autumn, did you want to bring up the long-range calendar real quick?
I think we'll get to that at the end, but I think first we've got a few other items we'll go through on administrative reports.
So let's go to board reports. Is there anybody who has something, board member who has something to share? Okay, I don't see anybody. Next is Ad Hoc Committee on AV Managed Lane Report. Autumn, would you like to give us an update, give the board an update on that?
Surely. So coordination with Caltrans is ongoing. I would call it slow-moving but fruitful. We've reached an important milestone in that the project description under CEQA is being revised consistent with this board's wishes to reflect that tolling is the preferred alternate, well, is part of the project description. So that change has been reflected in internal drafts that we've been working with Caltrans on, and we expect that to be released soon. In addition, Caltrans headquarters has offered conditional support for an SB1 Cycle 3 application that would help fund construction of the project. So we're working with District 3 to resolve some outstanding issues in order to meet the application deadline for SB1 Cycle 3, the deadline to apply is December 1st. So some of the issues we're working to resolve with Caltrans are around establishing an MOU or cooperative agreement between Caltrans and YCTD, clarifying our roles and responsibilities on the project, as well the range of alternatives that are being studied in the EIR. We're continuing to have conversations about that. And one of the key things for the SB1 funding is how we would fill the funding gap. With the SB1 funding, we would still not have sufficient funds between that and our $86 million infra grant to fund the first phase of construction. So we're looking at what are the strategies we have to get that across the finish line. A key piece that we're also working on is a vehicle miles traveled mitigation strategy, or VMT mitigation. So some of the public comments that were raised, what are the ways in which we can offset the increased vehicle miles traveled that this project will generate? And tolling is a key piece of that, we'll be looking at working with them on in terms of clarifying what that strategy looks like in the coming months.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Autumn. Colleagues, Director Ledesma has informed us that he's not able to meet with the ad hoc committee over the next couple of months. And so what I'm asking is that Director Frerichs, as a longstanding member, would join as an alternate to Chris for the rest of this year. And then if the ad hoc committee does continue into 2023, then Chair Stallard would be able to work with the board to make appointments at that point. But I'll bring that to you for the October meeting. It's simply that we needed to make that change in order to keep things going. Okay.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, I apologize. The first thing I meant to do in my executive director's report, and I skipped right over it, was to welcome Eric Wright, our new deputy director of
transit
operations and planning.
It just seems so natural to see him in the tribe here. So welcome back, Eric.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Autumn.
Very glad to have Eric with us.
Thank you for correcting that egregious oversight, Autumn. My goodness. Very good. So the next item is TransDev report. And let's see. There you are. So, Michael, would you like to, do you have anything you'd like to share with us?
Thank you, Chair Saylor. As we continue to have our recruiting challenges, just like everyone else, it's nice to say we're getting, we're going in the right direction. We're finally getting some headway. Positive numbers, we're going forward and we're right on schedule. As always, we're being able to do the expansion finally this year. It's awesome. And we're still going forward to be able to meet what our demands are, you know, for the rest of the months of the plans to bring back rest of service. So it's going in the right direction, not as fast as we'd like it to be, but it's definitely going in the right direction. We're going to be where we need to be.
Very good. Very good. But maybe you can give us some actual data on what your vacancies are and so on as a part of one of the upcoming written updates that Autumn will do.
Okay, you want for a written, please?
Yeah.
You want to know where we're at now?
Well, if you have it.
Well, sure, it's something we look at pretty much every day. So the nice thing to say is with the new bid coming out, we're actually right where we need to be to cover our all our bid lines. So we won't have any vacancies come the 19th. We have all that covered. Now, we do plan on adding more extra board standby drivers to the lines. But as of right now, there are built in there, and we'll have everything covered.
Well, that's a good turnaround. Thank you.
Yep. Definitely going in the right direction.
Okay. And the next item is the CAC and TAC meeting minutes. I guess we've got those minutes in the packet. Is anyone going to say anything about them, or are we just going to raise questions if we have any?
We do not have any minutes in the packet this month. TAC meeting was just last week, and the CAC meeting was also supposed to be last week and was unfortunately due to the heat wave and the power outage. It was supposed to start about 30 minutes after the power outage started in Davis and up in West Sacramento. So we postponed that meeting and it's in the process of being rescheduled. So we'll have the minutes for both of those meetings in the next board packet.
Okay. And brings us to the long range calendar.
Great. Amy, do you want to share your screen? And we'll take a look at that. So as I alluded to during my executive director's report, in October we'll be looking at a review of our vision values and priorities for YCTD. That's a typo. We'll hear an update on the Yellow Active Transportation Corridors project, an update and possible action on the YOLO 80 managed lanes, and also update and possible action on the Winchester 505 overcrossing project, as I mentioned earlier. In November, we'll hear a financial status report on the first quarter of the new fiscal year, and we'll also have a 12-month status report on the goals that were adopted by the board last October. This is really the foundation of our work plan, and we'll have a preliminary discussion of what our goals are for the next 12 months, and an update on Woodland Microtransit at that time. And then lastly, in December, we'll finalize our goals for the next 12 months, look at meeting dates, holiday dates, and probably more items to come, but that's what we have for now.
Okay, very, very good. Colleagues, any questions on the long-range calendar or items to ask for consideration from any member of the board? I don't see any hands, so we'll move. Is there any public comment on the administrative reports that we've just heard?
We do not have any public comment.
Okay, so we'll move on to item 5, which is Mr. Levinson, preliminary financial status report on the close of 21-22.
Thank you, Chair Taylor and board members. This will be very brief, but happy to answer questions. So we're still in the pre-audit phase, but this is how our year looks, that we ended with a $1.9 million operating surplus, which is expenditure savings of $2.5 million, with $600,000 less revenue supporting those expenditures. And that's, it's not something we celebrate exactly. We're not in the business of saving money. The reason for the expenditure savings is really due to, we had budgeted for restoring express service and expanding the 42 and Woodland Microtransit, and all of those for various reasons are on a different schedule and didn't happen during 21-22, resulting in those expenditure savings. But what this means in terms of our resources is that the budget in 21-22 was balanced with $2.6 million of sort of existing fund balance left over from prior years. Because of these savings, it shows that we really only had to use $700,000 of this fund rather than $2.6 million. And in the current year, just as a reminder, we also don't have sort of current resources to cover our expenditures. Our current year budget was budgeted with federal stimulus funds that we have available. And so we still have to, as part of our planning efforts, and Anna mentioned the 10-year strategic plan, really as part of that, we'll be doing a 5-year financial plan talking about the resources available to us and how we intend to be able to continue balancing the budget even when our stimulus funds or our prior year savings are exhausted. What will be our plans for continuing the budget balance? And we'll be looking closely at that. But I don't see any problem related to last year or any problem popping up yet in the current year. In the next page, I also wanted to share the every year CalPERS updates our actuarial reports. CalPERS had good investment results, and so our funding level is continuing to improve. And it's really nice to be working for an agency where pension liabilities are not sort of a driving force of financial decision-making. They are currently very affordable within our budget. And our total unfunded liability has now dropped below $1 million. Under our current funding plan, we're on a schedule to pay it off by fiscal year 28-29. That's in our annual budget this year. We budgeted about $180,000 towards that. We also have the option that we'll discuss later to pay it off early, which would save about $100,000 of interest if we wanted to make that choice of using our resources to pay it off early. And we'll bring that up after we finish auditing the year and in the context of the 5-year financial plan as to whether the board wants to consider that option. The packet has a more detailed summary of the budget to actuals for the year. I didn't want to repeat it here in the PowerPoint, but happy to answer any questions that may come up.
Very good. Are there questions, colleagues? I'm not seeing hands, so that means that usually means there's not a question. There's not an action requested, or is there an action requested here, Leo?
No action needed. Okay.
So receive and file, and we'll move on. I think we're done. We're ready to move to item 6, the microtransit update and First Amendment to the FY22 capital budget.
Yes, that is me. Good evening, Chair Saylor and members of the board. For those in the audience who may not know me, I'm Kristen Major. I'm the Senior Transportation Planner here at the Yolo County Transportation District. With this item, I will be giving you, the board members, an update on our microtransit expansion project. And as part of that update, I will be asking you to approve Amendment Number 1 to the Fiscal Year 2023 Capital Budget so that we can purchase an adequate number of vehicles for our microtransit and paratransit fleet. I will get to the vehicles issue in a second, but first I just wanted to update you on the plans for the expansion itself and the technology enhancements. So in general, we are still on track with the goal to launch in early 2023, perhaps as early as January. Now that we have procured RideCo as our technology platform for the service, which was the action you approved back in your July meeting. In the coming months, we will be working with RideCo, the City of Woodland, key stakeholders, and the public to finalize our plans for that new Woodland microtransit service. For instance, we still need to make final decisions about the fares, the hours of service, whether we want to try to establish sort of transfer points to fixed route at any locations. And then concurrently, as we are making those final microtransit service decisions, we will also be evaluating whether we should modify the remaining local fixed routes in Woodland, including routes 211 and 212, to better complement the microtransit service or to just better serve the Woodland community. That was all part of the Yellow Zoe recommendations, was to do that in conjunction with the microtransit launch. So we can go to the next slide, Mimi. So on the vehicles front, as you may recall, at your July board meeting, you expressed support for the idea that we were just taking your feedback on at the time of running a mixed fleet of vehicles in the microtransit service. So what we mean by a mixed fleet, again, is a mix of both wheelchair-accessible vehicles, or what some call WAVE vehicles, and non-accessible vehicles. In July and August, after you gave us that tentative support for that approach, we dove deeper into our efforts to purchase WAVE and non-WAVE vehicles, and we actually found that it's going to be a big challenge to purchase either vehicle type. Unfortunately, there are not a bunch of mass-produced passenger vans just sort of sitting in stock at auto dealerships. They are actually difficult to come by as well. However, the good news is that we have found a couple of bus dealers who could deliver to us both WAVE and non-WAVE vehicles on our desired timeline, so long as we sort of place the purchase orders as soon as possible. In terms of pricing, you should know that this is reflected in the budget amendment that we're asking for. Even the non-accessible vehicles will be more expensive than, say, just a basic mass-produced passenger van, because they are still going to be custom-built vans. That's what we are able to get in a timely manner. It's just that instead of having the chassis or, you know, the body of the vehicle having a lift installed, we would have a bus door installed so that the bus drivers could just push a button to open the door, and they would have custom seating. But that is reflected in the budget amount that we're asking for. We got to thinking that since purchasing vehicles has been a little bit of a challenge, should we be ordering more than just these four microtransit vehicles? So should we also purchase some new Yellow Bus special vehicles while we're doing this procurement? So to look at that, we did a little research. So if you could go to the next slide here, Mimi. So the first thing we looked at was what our demand is on our both Yellow Bus special, the ADA paratransit service, and on our two existing microtransit services in Knights Landing and Winters. And as you can see in this chart, which shows the monthly ridership on all three of those services from July 2020 to June 2022, our demand response ridership is at record high levels. So we're now beyond the ridership levels that we were at pre-COVID. And then next slide, Mimi. So the other thing that we looked at in addition to demand is the age and reliability of our fleet, our demand response fleet. So we have 12 vehicles in our demand response fleet, servicing both the Yellow Bus special trips and the microtransit trips, and that fleet is aging. So the average age of the vehicles in that fleet is 6 years. FDA defines the useful life of a vehicle of that size as 7 years, so we're getting close to the full useful life. The average mileage on those 12 vehicles is 182,000 miles, and FDA defines the useful life as 200,000 miles. And it's worth noting that of the 12 vehicles, two-thirds of them, or eight of them, actually already exceed that 200,000 mile benchmark. So given that we have a low spare ratio and, you know, this aging fleet, and then on top of all that, some parts shortages issues and sort of delays getting parts delivered when we need them, that can lead to adverse service impacts. So we would recommend that at this time, actually, Mimi, can you go to the next slide? Because that just sums up our recommendation. So we recommend that at this time, we, instead of purchasing just four microtransit vehicles, which is what we had originally included in the FY23 capital budget, for $560,000. We upped that budget to $1.3 million, which would allow us to buy 8 or possibly more, depending on the final pricing, demand response vehicles in general that could be used on either microtransit or ADA paratransit. I've shown the funding sources on this slide and in the packet, both what the funding sources were for the original budget and what we were proposing to use for the expansion or the amendment. So that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mimi. Are there questions, Laura? I don't see hands raised. I have a question.
Sorry, I have a question.
Thank you.
I try to find it. I can't figure out how to raise my hand right now. Sorry about that. So just a question about the old fleet. What happens to that? Is there any way to secure any type of revenue to offset the expenditure here?
Yeah, I think we can try to I think we typically auction the vehicles and see what we can get. We may want to, given, you know, the parts challenges, we would consult with Transdev and our new deputy director of planning to find out whether we wanted to maintain any as spares, but there's a possibility of auctioning them off. Another thing that some transit agencies do is donate them to nonprofits. So there's a few options.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe we can have a agenda item in the future that goes into what the possibilities are and how we might want to do that. Maybe that can be a part of next year's budget process, for example, where you have a replacement plan and a disposition plan. I guess I have two questions myself, and the first one is regarding the operation of our microtransit service. I've heard that the hours of service for the winter's microtransit is from 8 to 5 on business days. And I'm wondering if this additional vehicle augmentation would allow us to increase that service, because it's difficult for people to even ride the bus to work if it's only available to them in those limited hours. So perhaps that could be something that's examined. Can we increase the service in our microtransit when we have these vehicles in place? I realize there are staffing costs and implications there, but that's a concern I've been hearing. If you have any initial response, that's fine, but you know, it's maybe a point for later.
Yeah, and Autumn, feel free to jump in if this is incorrect, but my hunch is that, you know, just having more vehicles will give us more flexibility. Like you say, there may be impacts to the operations budget that we would have to incorporate, but right now, you know, we're getting close to not having enough vehicles to even be able to have that option, but I think this would give us that option.
Okay.
And I would just add, if I may, a couple of two things. One, that, you know, the four vehicles that we have put in the budget, you know, that also assumes operating hours of 8 to 5 for Woodland as well. And we've heard, you know, at least some comments and feedback that having evening service, you know, particularly to allow people to get to downtown might be something that's advisable. I know with the West Sacramento On Demand, that is a significant part of their ridership, as well as allowing people to get back and forth to kind of, you know, evening, going out to dinner, what they be. And so, yes, having more vehicles would give us more flexibility to think about, as we go through the planning for Woodland, whether or not we'd want to have service areas more than just 8 to 5, service more than just 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. That's promising. My other question is on process for augmenting our capital budget. And this circumstance makes sense if this has emerged and we see a need and an opportunities. But isn't it a bit unusual to augment the capital budget in the middle of the year? Do we have a normal process for it? And is this?
Leo, I'm muted, so I was going to let him
I just want to say, I'm sorry, I can't speak to history at YPCB, but I know sort of in general, as long as something is presented to the board with sufficient resources, the whole idea should be that the budget is not necessarily fixed.
that if there are new needs during the year, that can be brought to the board for consideration and approval, as long as there are funds to support that budget. And in this case, there are, as Kristen noted, about 80% would be from federal funds that we do have access to, and the other 20% from capital reserves that we have on hand. So the funds are available to support.
Okay, very good, very good. Thank you, Julio. Are there, I think we've asked for questions. Are there any public comments on this topic?
We do not have any public comments.
All right, very good. Are we ready for a motion? Mr. Stoller, would you like to be the maker of a motion?
I'm happy to move that we approve the budget augmentation as recommended by staff.
Very good. And Director Lauren, are you seconding?
I am seconding the item. Thank you.
Very good. So we have a motion by Stoller and a second by Lauren. And I think just a request doesn't have to be part of the motion that we look at expanding the service hours when we have the capacity and the opportunity to do so. That's not a motion. That's just a consideration. Would you take a roll, please?
Yes. Yolo County?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winter?
Aye.
City of Woodson?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passed unanimously.
Okay, thank you. That concludes the items for our open session. We do have a closed session, personnel evaluation. We will not be returning, and I'm going to turn to you, Jesse, just a second. We'll not be returning to report out on anything involving closed session. So there's no need for folks to hang out waiting for us to come back in the room. We're not going to be reporting anything out. And Jesse, I think you have some exciting news to share.
I do have very exciting news to share, and thank you for allowing me to share this news. Winners is so happy to return to having the Festival de la Comunidad. We have not had this community festival since 2019, and we're bringing it in with something very new and exciting. We are partnering with PG&E and Yolo Bus to be able to move people from the PG&E parking lot to the event and back. It will introduce people to our buses. Maybe we'll increase ridership. We'll be able to increase knowledge about our services. And it's win-win for everyone. So I invite you all to come, and I really look forward to featuring Yolo Bus as a partner in transportation at our event. So thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. I'm looking forward to it. And Kristen, by the way, nice job with the with that issue on what to do about getting the right number of vehicles in place. That's a nice creative way to deal with it. And Autumn, did you have your hand up?
I was trying to make a cheer, but I realized all I could do was raise my hand.
So. All right. So very good. I look forward to seeing everybody at the Festival de la Comunidad. So we're going to go to closed session. You should have a link in your calendar for it. The Hope is going to be the host of that, I believe. And does everybody know how to get there? I'm not seeing anybody needing the life preserver thrown to them. So we'll leave this session and log on to the closed session. See you on the other side. Our meeting.
Have a great evening. Thank you. Bye.